Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, December 15th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
stocks continue their sell-off following Jay Powell's hawkish tone.
Now it's the ECB and Bank of England's turn to make rate decisions.
China's economy weakened before the government dropped COVID zero.
And Elon Musk dumps more shares of Tesla.
I'm Amy Morris. New Jersey Transit will spend $97 million for new transportation. And investigators are searching for the cause of that NYPD warehouse fire in Brooklyn.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Knicks made it five straight wins. They beat the Bulls in overtime. The Rangers seek a fifth straight win tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures down 43 points. That's down 1.1%. Dow futures down 0.8% or 267 points. And NASDAQ futures falling down 173 points or 1.5%. The DAX in Germany is down 1.2%. And the 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 3.49%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, this sell-off continues after the Fed's final policy decision of the year. As expected, the central bank raised interest rates another 50 basis points, but Chairman Jay Powell is pushing back at market hopes for a pivot to lower rates anytime soon.
Price stability is the responsibility of the Federal Reserve and serves as the bedrock of our economy. Without price stability, the economy doesn't work for anyone. In particular, without price stability, we will not achieve a sustained period of strong labor market conditions that benefit all.
Chair Jay Powell says the Fed plans to stay the course until the job is done.
Well, stocks snapped a two-day winning streak after Powell's remarks, Nathan. But Guggenheim Chief Investment Officer Scott Minard says Powell's tone should not have come as a surprise.
We knew they had to be very hawkish. And the reason they had to be hawkish is that, you know, financial conditions have loosened pretty dramatically over the last 6 weeks. The stock market's up substantially. Rates are down meaningfully. And so, the Fed, I think, felt that it needs to lean into that.
And those remarks from Scott Minard at Guggenheim are being echoed by KPMG chief economist Diane Swong.
They are more than willing to start cutting rates if inflation comes down more rapidly. They have to send this message right now. And I think that's where they stand. They will be a political pinata. I have no doubt about Jay Powell's ability to handle the politics, given what he's already been through.
KPMG's Diane Swong and Scott Minard joined us on a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance following the Fed decision.
And we have even more policy decisions, Karen. Two big ones on the way out of Europe. We begin our team coverage with Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden in London, where the Bank of England is expected to follow the Fed with its own 50 basis point hike.
For me, what's the most interesting thing today will be the vote split, because potentially it's going to say a lot about where we head from here in terms of tightening. Bank of America, JP Morgan and Nomura have pointed to the possibility of a four-way split between 75, 50, 25 and no hike at all. It'd be the first time in the bank's independent history, and that might seem chaotic, but really some welcome it as a confirmation that there's no groupthink on Threadneedle Street.
Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden reports the BOE decision comes down less than 1 hour from now.
And just over an hour after the BOE announcement, Nathan, will hear from the European Central Bank. And Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo continues our team coverage with details on that from Frankfurt.
There was this debate, would it be 50, would it be 75? But of course, we can't ignore that this is coming off the back of the Fed going for 50. The animal spirits also in Frankfurt suggesting this is now inclined towards 50 basis points. That would take the deposit rate to 2%. And of course, signal this continuation of hikes from the central bank.
And Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo says all but three of the 51 economists surveyed by Bloomberg predict a 50 basis point move from the ECB.
Now, 50 basis points seems to be a theme for central banks, Karen. We've heard from the Swiss National Bank this morning as well, and they raised rates, you guessed it, 50 basis points, bringing the benchmark in Switzerland to 1%.
All right, let's turn to Asia now. Nathan, where economic data are in focus. Fresh data out of Beijing shows growth slowed in November. That's before the government dropped its COVID zero policy. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Retail sales contracted 5.9% in November from a year ago, and that was worse than the 4% decline in a Bloomberg survey. Industrial output grew 2.2% from a year ago. That also missed the estimate. COVID outbreaks across the country meant that people went out less and spent less money. Economists expect more disruption in the coming months. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Radio.
Okay, Brian, thank you. In corporate news this morning, we're watching shares of Tesla. They're down another 2.6% in the pre-market after Elon Musk sold another chunk of his stake. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, it wouldn't be a news day without a mention of Musk and his latest move. The Tesla founder unloading another $3.6 billion in company shares. Musk already sold off $18 billion in stock this year to finance his acquisition of Twitter. The electric automaker stock plummeted 55% this year as investors grow concerned about Musk purchasing the platform. And with this year's sell-off, Tesla's valuation dropped below $500 billion for the first time since November 2020. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. And the fallout continues in the crypto space after the collapse of FTX. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren is announcing a bipartisan bill aimed to crack down on digital currencies used in money laundering.
This is all about what we need to do right now. And we need to stop the money laundering. We need to stop the cheating that's going on in crypto. And that means just getting a set of rules in place. Same kind of transaction, same kind of risk, means that we've got to have the same rules. And it also means we've got to have a cop on the beat who is well enough financed.
And if Senator Warren's bill becomes law, crypto exchanges would be required to verify customer identities the way banks and other financial institutions already do. And futures are lower this morning. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, 34 degrees in Central Park. Grab that umbrella. We got rain moving in this afternoon. We're heading to the mid-40s, low 40s early tonight, but temperatures are going to rise through the overnight hours as the rain continues. Amy Morris is here with what else is going on in wet New York City. At least it'll be wet later, Amy.
Oh, yes, it will, Nathan. Thanks so much. The courts also will not be stepping in to immediately stop New York Mayor Eric Adams' plans to force mentally ill people from the streets and into treatment. The judge found no evidence that irreparable harm would occur before he issues his final ruling on the practice in a couple of weeks. Advocates for people with mental illnesses want that plan stopped. They say police officers should not be first responders for those who need health care. Crews are still looking for hot spots. Investigators still looking for the cause of a huge fire at an NYPD evidence warehouse in Brooklyn. Former police chief Terry Monahan says everything has been destroyed.
They really don't expect anything to be salvageable in there. Obviously, they're not going to know for sure until they get inside and start looking around.
Monahan says some items in the warehouse were going to be destroyed before the blaze, but some of the 11,000 barrels in the facility are related to cold cases. New Jersey Transit spending $97 million to buy a new ferry, 60 new buses, and rebuild 35 locomotives. NJ.com reports the board exercised an option with New Flyer to buy 60 more articulated buses. They awarded a $7 million contract for a new ferry from Hornblower Yacht, and they agreed to a $34 million contract with Caterpillar for the new locomotives. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is urging parents to get their young children updated coronavirus boosters. Murphy says children ages 6 months to 5 years old are eligible now to receive the updated bivalent vaccine, but only 5.5% of New Jersey children between 6 months and 4 years old have completed their primary series. Russian cosmonauts canceled their spacewalk yesterday. They noticed a leak outside their spacecraft. NASA officials talked about it.
We noticed a visible stream of flakes coming from the aft of the Soyuz near the instrumentation and propulsion module that was indicative of a leak.
The Soyuz spacecraft is docked at the International Space Station, and Russia is trying to figure out what is the leak and what caused the leak. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Knicks with the start of an unusual two-game series in Chicago. They played the Bulls last night, and they'll be there again tomorrow. Last night went overtime. Knicks pulled out the win, 128-120, their fifth win in a row, and Julius Randle has had a lot to do with that, playing much more like he did 2 years ago than last season when Randle struggled. 31 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 30 points for Jalen Brunson. The Warriors lost at Indiana. Defending NBA champs can't win on the road. They're 2-13, and Steph Curry left last night with an injured shoulder. Rangers host Toronto tonight. Blue Shirts have won their last four. College hoops, easy win for Seton Hall over Drexel. Battle of top 20 teams. UCLA went to Maryland. Won easily. The Bruins were up by 29 at halftime. Sunday's World Cup final promises to be a classic. Argentina with Lionel Messi looking for his elusive first championship, taking on France, who's got a chance to win back-to-back World Cups. That's only happened once. Brazil 60 years ago. As the Jets get ready to host the Lions Sunday, Coach Rob Sala asked about quarterback Zach Wilson, who lost his starting job.
Zach's been doing a great job. He's been deliberate in his approach over the last 3 weeks. He's been holding himself accountable with regards to how he wants to attack practice, how he's been performing in practice, going against our defense, which I think is a pretty good defense to go against.
Sala has moved Wilson from third string up to second behind Mike White. 49ers bring their six-game win streak tonight into Seattle. Chance for the Niners to clinch the NFC West. The ex-Met Noah Syndergaard signed a one-year deal with the Dodgers. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And the Bloomberg Sports Report, John, was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. Right now, S&P futures are down 40 points. Dow futures down 241, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 158 points, a decline of 1.3% as the equity sell-off continues following the Fed decision and the hawkish tone from Chairman Powell. We're going to get more insights on the path for the Fed. Danielle DiMartino Booth of Quill Intelligence joins us with her thoughts next. This is Bloomberg.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on SiriusXM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. Let's get you back to our top story of the morning. The Federal Reserve delivering that widely expected 50 basis point rate hike at its final policy meeting of 2022. But if markets were expecting a pivot to lower rates anytime soon, the message from Chairman Jay Powell basically is don't hold your breath. Let's bring in Danielle DiMartino Booth for more insights on this. The CEO, chief strategist at Quill Intelligence, joins us live this morning. Of course, Danielle is a former advisor as well to the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. It's great to speak with you this morning from our Interactive Broker Studios. Danielle, what was your takeaway from this hawkish tone that we continue to get from this Federal Reserve?
Well, my biggest takeaway was the consensus factor, the fact that there was so much agreement despite the fact that everybody who submitted their dots could have changed their dot by Tuesday night, according to the Fed's website. So they maintained that they feel that inflation is going to be problematic, even though we did see breaking that the markets celebrated in the consumer price index.
Do you expect that consensus to hold? It looks like the market is continuing to place its bet that the Fed's going to blink.
Indeed, it does. You initially saw kind of a violent reaction in the bond market, and then yields backed off, indicating that the bond market still believes that the Fed is going to be forced to pivot. I would say that the particular form of inflation that Chair Powell cited, that would be the core services CPI ex shelter, that has ticked down for 2 months in a row. My experience at the Fed tells me once they get to that third month in a row, a trend has been established, and that will be a takeaway for the doves. And we're also going to see a rotation to much more dovish Federal Reserve District presidents in 2023. Kashkari's coming on. Lori Logan, who's a career economist from the New York Fed, she's also considered to be
a dove. She's coming on as well as Austin Goolsbee. And we're going to roll off some known hawks. So I think that Chair Powell might be seeing dissent in 2023.
Interesting. How much dissent do you think that Chairman Powell is going to be in for? Do you think that Chairman Powell himself starts to waver a bit if we do get that sign that inflation is starting to go on the path that the Fed's looking for?
Well, I certainly think that's going to be the case. At least he will continue to nod to the effects of higher interest rates. In fact, at the presser yesterday afternoon, Powell actually said, you know, we can foresee that shelter inflation that is problematically sticky, we can foresee that that's going to turn in 2023. He still looked through that, however. And bear in mind, given the Fed's unemployment forecast that we saw in the summary of economic projections yesterday, there's every chance. I mean, we've never not gone into recession with that level of an increase in the unemployment rate that is part of the Fed's forecast. So the Fed is as close as it's possibly ever been to acknowledging and saying we're going to continue tightening into recession.
Yeah, and one of the big messages we heard yesterday from Chairman Powell was that there's a bigger risk from under-tightening than there is from over-tightening. It seems like he has history in mind here, Danielle. What is the history that the chairman is looking at? And does that really inform the kind of inflation that we're seeing in this economy?
Well, you know, that's what the critical question is, because when the policy error was first made, when LBJ was president and William McChesney Martin blinked and was softer on the rate path than he should have been, and then he was followed by mega doves who were politically malleable, his nemesis, Arthur Burns, and they couldn't get really control of inflation at the time. That was a time when unions were extremely powerful in the United States, when labor had more sway, as opposed to where we are today. And as we see, one company after another announcing layoffs, despite the fact that we're this close to the holidays.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Danielle. As we mentioned, you're a former advisor to the Dallas Fed president. If you were in that role now, what would you be advising?
Well, I would be trying to communicate a little bit better that I want to get inflation down, but I am more sympathetic than what I sound like I am to the fact that somebody losing their job is a heck of a lot worse than somebody battling inflation, but they're going to try and look past that for the long-term prosperity of the U.S. economy, for the common good.
Yeah, going to be really interesting to see the messaging going into 2023 and the potential impact of policy on this persistent inflation we continue to see. Danielle DiMartino Booth of Quill Intelligence, as always, great to have you on with us this morning here on Daybreak. Danielle DiMartino Booth, the CEO, Chief Strategist over at Quill Intelligence. Right now, S&P futures are down 39 points. Dow futures down 237. NASDAQ futures are lower by 157 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32. Yield 3.48%. And the yield on the 2-year right now, 4.23%. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. And futures are lower this morning with S&P futures down 40 points, Dow futures down 242, NASDAQ futures are down 160, and the 10-year Treasury is down 2/32, yield 3.48%, yield on the 2-year 4.23%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Thank you, Karen. Pfizer has an agreement to sell its antiviral medication, Paxlovid, in China. This, as sources tell Bloomberg, the White House will reopen a program today, allowing people in the U.S. to order batches of at-home COVID tests for free. The intruder accused of attacking House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband was ordered to stand trial for attempted murder. Prosecutors say David DePape has a list of other targets, including California Governor Gavin Gavin Newsom and actor Tom Hanks. And sports in the NBA, the Wizards and Warriors lose, the Knicks win. The World Cup final set for Sunday. Argentina will be taking on France. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:23 now on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we turn again to the collapse of the cryptocurrency exchange FTX and what it means for the outlook for digital currencies. This week on Capitol Hill, the new CEO of FTX, John J. Ray, testified about the practices inside the company that he found disturbing.
The absence of record keeping. Employees would communicate, you know, invoicing and expenses on Slack, which is, you know, essentially a way of communicating for chat rooms.
And after John Ray testified to the House and the Senate, Bloomberg's Shanali Basak spoke with Oklahoma Republican Congressman Frank Lucas about steps Congress can take to protect investors.
Something I wonder about is when you listen to the hearing testimony of John Ray, the new CEO of FTX, are you finding that you can find any closure for your constituents or any path forward?
I wish I could say that, but clearly this is a multi-billion dollar mess that's going to continue. When Mr. Ray pointed out to us that the bookkeeping system was rudimentary, off-the-shelf small business software being used to manage a multi-billion dollar enterprise, when you discuss the lack of strong board management in the various enterprises, the ability of the CEO to loan himself money out of the company, it was horrifying. But that's what this hearing is about. Get to the bottom of the mess so we can figure out how to make sure, from Congress's perspective, this doesn't happen again.
Has it changed your view of the entire crypto industry, or do you view this as a one-off event?
Well, I've always been a little suspicious of crypto, not so much from the perspective of the professional investors, but there are a lot of little people out there who put their money into this, who've been pulled in. I said in 32 of my town meetings this summer, only invest the money you don't need. It's the Wild West right now in crypto. Unfortunately, there was a gunfight, and the investors may have lost.
You asked during the hearing also why certain assets were left out of the bankruptcy. Do you feel that those assets should have been included?
Well, ultimately, the investors will want as much of their money back as they can possibly get. And when Mr. Ray could identify $1 billion that they had pretty well tied down, but if public reports are to be believed, that means $6 or $7 billion may not be accounted for yet. I'm very unnerved. And I also wanted to know, because of the international nature, 100 and some enterprises scattered around the world in FTX, how that would act. Would prudent regulators, perhaps in the United States and other countries, have assets, and countries where perhaps the regulation wasn't so prudent, will they want to draw up on that? Those are all questions that ultimately will be answered, but it's important to people who put some, maybe their life savings, I hope not, but put real money into this, what now appears to have been a fraud.
Among your peers on this committee, there seems to be a debate here about the role of the SEC when it comes to enforcement of the crypto industry and laying out the rules of the land here. What do you feel is the right role for the SEC versus the CFTC, as you've also previously spent time on the Agriculture Committee?
I chaired the Ag Committee when we had Mr. former Senator Corzine under oath about his debacle. CFTC is a proactive entity. You come to them with ideas and concepts. They proactively make rules and regulations. Securities Exchange Commission is a reactive group. They come in after the fact. It's two different cultures, two different perspectives. We'll see when all this sorts out. Incoming chairman of the Financial Services Committee, Patrick McHenry, is very focused on bringing order to the crypto industry. We'll see what form that takes, but it will involve both ag and financial services, and we've got to make sure that this kind of a mess can't happen again.
And that was Republican Congressman Frank Lucas of Oklahoma speaking with Bloomberg's Shanali Basak. You can catch the full interview on Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal. Checking Bitcoin right now, it's down 0.8% on the session, just shy of 17,700. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart, tax-efficient way to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2022 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org. We have your top stories of the morning, plus local headlines and a full check of markets straight ahead. First, Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin.
cloudy and dry this morning. Can't say that for the ride home this afternoon. We'll be dealing with rain later in the city today. Temperatures up to about 45. Rainy, breezy tonight, 40 to 45. Tomorrow, rainy and breezy. The rain may be heavy at times, especially tomorrow morning. Highs 45 to 50. Sunshine returns on Saturday. Highs 40 to 45. Sunny, chilly Sunday with a high of 35 to 40. I'm Rob Carolyn with your weekend forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Coming up on 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things that you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interests at IBKR.com/RIA. Up first, the sell-off continues this morning after the Fed raised interest rates by another 50 basis points. At the same time, Chairman Jay Powell is dampening hopes for a pivot to lower rates anytime soon.
The inflation data received so far for October and November show a welcome reduction in the monthly pace of price increases. But it will take substantially more evidence to give confidence that inflation is on a sustained downward path.
Chair Powell says the Fed will stay the course until the job is done.
Well, stocks snapped a two-day winning streak, Karen, following those remarks from Chairman Powell. Sylvia Jablonski, the CEO of Defiance ETF, says for investors, the Fed chair knocked the wind out of their sails.
The market, I think, was disappointed by the Fed rhetoric because he talked a lot about moving that terminal rate up to 5.1%, but also downplaying the success that we're already seeing on the impacts of the work that they've done.
Sylvia Jablonski with Defiance ETF says she was more optimistic about a Santa Claus rally before Powell's news conference.
Well, Nathan, we have more policy decisions on the way in Europe. The Bank of England is expected to follow the Fed with a half a point rate hike this morning. And in Switzerland, the Swiss National Bank also raised its benchmark rate by 50 basis points.
In Asia, we're looking at weak economic data, Karen. China's economy worsened in November before Beijing dropped its COVID zero policy. Retail sales contracted and industrial output missed estimates.
And to corporate news now, Nathan, where Twitter owner Elon Musk is selling more shares of Tesla. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with that story. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Yep, Elon Musk is offloading $3.5 billion in Tesla shares this week, his latest sell-off to raise cash for Twitter. Tesla stock is down 55% this year as investors grow concerned about his purchase of the social media platform. The electric automaker's valuation dropping below $500 billion for the first time in more than 2 years. Tesla's troubles are costing Musk more than just money. He also lost his title as the richest person in the world. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport. Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Steve, thanks. And a note on politics. Now, Senator Elizabeth Warren is announcing a bipartisan bill aimed at cracking down on cryptocurrencies used in money laundering. The legislation would require crypto exchanges to verify customer identities as other financial institutions do.
And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. We are watching shares of Tesla this morning. They're down 1.8% in early trading. S&P futures also lower, down 38 points. That's down about 0.9%. Dow futures down 0.7%, or 234 points. And NASDAQ futures down 1.25%, down 150 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:31 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Amy Morris for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. Investigators still trying to figure out what sparked that major fire at an NYPD warehouse in Brooklyn. Former NYPD Chief Terry Monahan says they don't expect anything to be salvageable, but they do still have some records.
Everything should be documented in databases. At least what the evidence showed should be documented somewhere. It's just that physical evidence that'll be gone.
Crews continue to look for hot spots more than a day after the raging fire destroyed biological evidence, department vehicles, and hundreds of confiscated e-bikes. Uber drivers in New York will not be getting higher pay, at least not yet. A judge has blocked the Taxi and Limousine Commission from raising the pay of ride-hail drivers while a lawsuit by Uber is pending. Uber argues the pay raise would force them to raise fares. Driver advocates tell the New York Times they're stunned the court would temporarily block those raises. New Jersey transit officials developing a no-ride list for violent passengers who assault transit workers. A year ago, passengers who assaulted employees would face steep fines, but now the agency is working on a policy to ban disorderly riders from the transit system, including a permanent ban for any passengers who use deadly weapons. The House has passed a short-term government funding bill to push a government shutdown deadline back a week.
On this vote, the yeas are 224 and the nays are 201. The motion is adopted.
It funds the government until December 23rd. The short-term bill now goes to the Senate. The FDA says there's a nationwide shortage of amoxicillin. The popular antibiotic is in high demand because of more respiratory viruses in the U.S. Officials say part of the problem? Supply chain issues. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State. Out of here again is John Stanshower.
All right, Nathan. Slow start to the Knicks season, but coming on now in Chicago, looking for a fifth win in a row. The game went to overtime.
Brunson high left against Caruso, circling to the corner, crossover, ankle breaker, knocks down the three. Jalen Brunson puts the Knicks up by nine with 27.9 to go in overtime. And that should be it in the Windy City. Wow!
On ESPN New York, Knicks beat the Bulls 128-120. 31 points for Julius Randle, and Brunson scored 30. R.J. Barrett added 22. The Knicks are the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA, and yet last night they made 18 of 34. They're up to sixth place in the East as they oddly play the Bulls again tomorrow, also in Chicago. The night after the Knicks won their fifth in a row, the Rangers will try to do likewise. They host Toronto. The Devils tonight try to end a three-game losing streak. They'll host Philadelphia. NFL tonight, 49ers in Seattle. Niners won six in a row. A win tonight clinches them the NFC West. The Jets have made a change in their quarterback depth chart. Zach Wilson, who went from first string all the way down to third, is now at least up to second ahead of Joe Flacco, still behind Mike White, who will lead the Jets into a home game Sunday with Detroit. The Giants play the primetime game in Washington. The Commanders playing well despite all the turmoil surrounding their owner, Dan Snyder. Washington Post reports Snyder is moving forward with receiving offers from those interested in buying the team from him. At the World Cup, France ended Morocco's Cinderella run, so Sunday's final, France against Argentina. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. 6:35 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about the rising cost of write-downs at Warner Brothers Discoveries.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Grocers say pie crust, gravy, and butter are in short supply this holiday season.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that Twitter has updated its private information policy, saying it will remove any tweets or accounts that share someone's live location going forward.
I'm Kimberly Adams, and on WBZ in Boston, I'll be reporting on Elon Musk selling more Tesla stock.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Radio in London. We've been reporting on a bumper day of central bank decisions in Europe, from Switzerland, Norway, the UK, and the Eurozone.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford and a Chinese company are thinking about building a battery plant in Michigan.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's almost 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. In announcing plans to massively increase defense spending, Japan has embarked on a military transformation. The budget increases proposed by Prime Minister Fumio Kishida last week would provide Japan's self-defense forces with unprecedented resources, around 43 trillion yen, or $315 billion over the next 5 years. Given rising security challenges in the Pacific, Japan's ambition is bold and welcome. For the new spending to be truly effective, though, the government will need to make hard choices. While flashy weapons systems have appeal, purchases of emerging low-cost technologies would allow the military to get more bang for its yen. Maintaining military spending at this level will likely require higher taxes and painful spending cuts. The government must be able to assure citizens their money is being spent wisely. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:38 on Wall Street. Just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll take a look at the FTX fallout after 2 days on Capitol Hill. How are lawmakers feeling about cryptocurrency? Have any minds changed? Plus, we'll get an update on efforts to avoid a government shutdown on Capitol Hill and a new crackdown on TikTok in the Senate. Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick joins us next. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks falling this morning following the Federal Reserve rate decision. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now as the Fed said will go higher for longer yesterday. Dow futures currently down 249 points. S&P's dropped 40 and NASDAQ futures are lower by 155. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.49%. Gold is down 29. Oil is little changed. And Bitcoin is trading lower by 0.8%. Hong Kong fell 1.6% overnight, while European markets are also trading in the red this morning. And back in the U.S., on the economic front at 8:30, jobless claims, retail sales, Empire Manufacturing, and the Philly Fed. In other news, according to a filing, Elon Musk sold as much as 22 million shares of Tesla this week. And wrapping things up, Marriott was cut to equal weight over at Barclays, Cognizant cut to underweight at J.P. Morgan, and AT&T was cut to equal weight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg-type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Thank you, Karen. The Senate wants to ban the use of TikTok on government phones and devices. A bill passed with no objections last night still needs to be passed by the House and signed by President Biden. Chances are dimming that Congress will take up a multi-billion-dollar package to renew a cluster of business tax breaks and provide a more generous child tax credit before lawmakers leave for the holidays. In sports, in the NBA, the Wizards and Warriors lose. The Knicks win. The World Cup final set for Sunday. Argentina taking on France. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Amy, thank you. And it is 6:42 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT offers New Jersey's first undergraduate degree in fintech, tech-driven, finance-focused. What will you make at NJIT? Learn more at njit.edu/fintech. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The Department of Justice says the U.S. has seized dozens of internet domains and charged six people in a sting intended to bring down a network of cyber attack for hire services. The websites were used to launch or attempt to launch millions of so-called DDoS attacks around the world. Short for distributed denial of service, DDoS attacks direct huge amounts of junk internet traffic at a website or computer network to knock it offline. For the fourth time this year, Elon Musk has unloaded Tesla's stock. The electric car maker's CEO sold almost $3.6 billion worth of shares this week. That stock has plunged 55% this year. Investors are concerned that Musk's $44 billion purchase of Twitter could have an impact on Tesla. And Ford and a Chinese company may build a battery factory in Michigan despite current U.S.-China tensions. The automaker and CATL are trying to take advantage of a complex arrangement to reap new tax benefits. Bloomberg News has learned that Virginia is also a possible home for the multi-billion dollar facility. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Well, that'll be one to watch. Thank you, Karen. Yeah. We're coming up to 6:44 on Wall Street. And it's now time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the ongoing fallout on Capitol Hill over FTX, the Senate voting to ban TikTok on government-owned phones, the House passing a one-week stopgap to avoid a government shutdown, and President Biden encouraging fair elections in a meeting with African leaders. Let's bring in Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick for more on some of these stories. Of course, Jack, we've been following the FTX hearings very closely over the last 2 days on Capitol Hill. Have you heard any minds change from lawmakers about crypto?
Not really. Among the enthusiasts, the enthusiasm is still there. It may be the case that some Democrats who had concerns see those concerns as ramped up. Brad Sherman, the Democrat from California, described crypto as a garden of snakes. But some of the people who work on these issues on the Republican side are, still seem to be pretty enthusiastic. Senator Cynthia Lummis sort of went on defense and said, you know, there's a separate conversation about FTX versus broadly about cryptocurrencies. She's worked on a bill regulating cryptocurrencies. Patrick McHenry, who's in line to be the Financial Services Committee chair in the House next year, a Republican from North Carolina, said he's still a believer in digital assets. So it doesn't seem like the kind of situation that's fundamentally changed, you know, where the support and where the concern is. Maybe it just ramped up the pressure for those who already had concerns.
Well, where does this leave the possibility for further regulation around crypto? Are we seeing that same kind of bipartisan split when it comes to that?
You know, there has been some bipartisan work on regulation. Senator Lummis has worked with and proposed a bill with Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democrat, to set up a regulatory framework. That's one of a few things that have been proposed. It's not the simplest conversation to get into, and it's difficult to see exactly how Congress works together with very narrow majorities in the House and Senate with different parties in the next Congress. So you can't exactly guarantee a lot of progress on this issue going forward, but there definitely are still key lawmakers who are interested in taking this up. They're not just trying to wash their hands of it and say, well, clearly crypto is terrible, we have to simply crack down. There probably is some bipartisan interest still in creating that kind of regulatory framework.
Well, speaking of bipartisan, Jack, we don't often get to say bipartisan passage in the Senate, but man, did we see that when it comes to TikTok.
Yes. So, you know, on unimportant bills, usually they manage to pass things by unanimous consent in the Senate. That might be renaming a post office or something along those lines. They actually took up and agreed to, by unanimous consent, pass a bill to ban TikTok on government-owned phones. Clearly a bipartisan and unanimous reflection of the concerns about the Chinese-owned app being on government phones, the security concerns about that, pretty significant. So that was relatively sudden in terms of it coming up to the Senate floor and being passed. But clearly that at least that limited measure on government-owned phones was something there was a lot of support for.
And it looks like we've got a limited measure when it comes to keeping the government funded. What's the update on averting a government shutdown?
Well, they're buying an extra week. Tomorrow night, Friday night, is the deadline. Currently, the House just passed a week-long stopgap. The Senate is supposed to take that up probably today, unless they want to work late and wait until the last minute and do it Friday, but likely today. They have a framework agreement on how to do a real government funding bill. And so now they essentially just need to finish writing it, which takes a little bit of time. But the goal is to be able to do that and enact it by December 23rd, next Friday. And lately it's been good news in terms of the progress on that. So they're buying an extra week and crossing their fingers that they can finish what I'm sure would be more than a 2,000-page bill by then.
About a minute left here, Jack. President Biden's been focused the last couple of days on Africa, the Leaders Summit. What's some of the highlights from that?
Well, they emphasized fair elections. Jake Sullivan brought this up and said that it's not about a specific warning, but they wanted to express that there are elections coming up, and they want to emphasize the importance of free and fair elections. A lot of talk about investment, about more than $50 billion in U.S. investment in Africa over the next 3 years. And of course, you saw the president stay at the hotel where this happened to watch the Morocco-France World Cup game. not exactly the most important part, but investment and free and fair elections, really the big two prongs there.
Yeah, and you know, Morocco is part of Africa, of course, so the focus certainly there as well. Bloomberg Government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick joining us live from the nation's capital. Read more on all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures right now down 38 points. Dow futures down 241 and NASDAQ futures lower by 149 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning following the Federal Reserve interest rate decision. And we check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures, they're down about 0.9%, down about 38 points. Dow futures down 0.7%, or 234 points. And NASDAQ futures really leading the declines here, down 1.25%. They're down about 148 points. The DAX in Germany is down 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 3.46%, and the yield on the 2-year, 4.22%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1%, or 11 cents. It's $77.39 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.6%, down $29.70. It's $17.89.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.0621 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2343. The yen is at 136.60. Bitcoin is down 0.6%. It's at about $17,700. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. To 6:56 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Surveillance is up next. First, we want to take a look at some of the stocks moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with a Fed-driven sell-off this morning. Kriti, still, though, we got to talk about Tesla and the sell-off from once again from Elon Musk.
Some individual stories, Nathan. They say that it's the holiday time, things are going to slow down, but it's kind of when some things sneak past us or attempt to. Nevertheless, Tesla shares, TSLA is your ticker, down 1.6% in the pre-market. This comes after the CEO, Elon Musk, sold $3.6 billion worth of Tesla stock. This is his fourth time selling shares this year. And on top of that, Cathie Wood also bought some shares in the EV maker. So remember, we've been talking a lot about how Elon Musk is going to be financing some of the Twitter debt. Perhaps this is a part of his one of his moves, but nevertheless, his personal wealth is certainly taking a hit, and he is looking for that cash. And Tesla net shares, as a result, taking that hit this morning, down about 1.6%. Another mover you want to keep an eye on is Novavax. NVAX shares are down about 10% in the pre-market. This is a biotech firm offering $125 million worth of shares and $125 million worth of convertible bonds, saying its agreement to supply COVID vaccines to the UK have been halved. So a little bit of share dilution there, in addition to some of that UK COVID news as well that you are starting to see. Remember, Novavax was one of the more later contenders to get approved for the COVID vaccine, including the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, as well as the Johnson & Johnson. So Novavax didn't quite get in on that boom that others did as well. Nathan, we can't start the morning without talking about Bitcoin in some capacity.
Oh, of course not.
Which brings me to the Bitcoin miner. Core Scientific, CORZ, is your ticker. Up about 34% in the pre-market, a massive move here after one of its largest creditors, B. Riley Financial, issued an open letter on Wednesday laying out a proposal for the company to avoid bankruptcy, basically giving them a lifeline after the chaos of FTX and all the ripple effects there. So some massive news on that front. Nathan, I'm going to leave you with this last one. Verizon, VZ is your ticker. Shares popping about 1.4%. Morgan Stanley, is the winner here, upgrading it to overweight and downgrading AT&T, on the other hand, to equal weight, saying in a note that North American telecom services sector faces a balanced outlook heading into next year, but Verizon is very clearly their pick. So VZ up 1.2%, and then you have to look at AT&T as well, and those shares actually down 1.7%. The ticker is just the letter T. So Morgan Stanley moving the market this morning.
Yeah, interesting to see some analyst moves under the hood of the broad sell-off that we've got after the Fed decision. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us as always this morning. Futures as a whole down 36 points for the S&P futures. Dow futures are lower by 224 points. NASDAQ futures down 142 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager alongside Karen Moscow. It is 6:59 on Wall Street. Bloomberg surveillance starts right now.
Live from the financial capital of the world, broadcasting across the globe, this is WBBR New York, Bloomberg 1130.
I wouldn't see us considering rate cuts until the committee is confident that inflation is moving.